Let's pause for a second to welcome in audio-only listeners. If you are just tuning in, you can go to YouTube and watch Ray and I break down the film of the top six tackles in this draft class. Really good film to go and check it out. There was a five-play maximum. Neither of us did that on any of these prospects. So there's a lot of detail that we gave on that. So I definitely recommend you go in there and check it out. But if you were joining audio only, what we are going to be doing now is breaking down kind of our overview of these prospects, what we think of them as a whole, and how we have them ranked. So Ray, I want you to kick it off and tell me who on this list you have at number six.
This was actually really tough because it's one of those where, okay, maybe I love one of them. Maybe I love one of them, but not sure I love to degrees of which I like the rest of them, kind of hit and miss. But to me, six was Cameron Williams. The body of work, not quite there yet. I love the frame. He's my type of prospect in the sense of got the length, kind of has the athleticism. He has the baseline frame that you're looking for in traits, but just wanted to see more of it. And he wasn't quite as consistent as you wanted him to be. You mentioned, is it a fatigue thing? I guess it's possible. I mean, Texas' season ended pretty much because they imploded late in the game against Ohio State in the playoff too. So is it a stamina type of deal? And that really shouldn't happen when you're 21 years old. I like the frame. There's things to like about all these guys, but six for me was Cameron Williams because just the tape itself wasn't as consistent as I'd like it to be.
So I actually had Cam Williams at six as well. So we were on the same page there. And I think the reason, actually for audio only, again, 6'6", 317, 21 years old, out of Texas, played only 1,100 snaps at right tackle in his 3 years at Texas, didn't do the combine, and was a 67.4 offensive grader for PFF. So this is a guy to me that I think has the ability to start at the in the NFL. He could be an NFL starter. So that tells you what I think of this class, that I think there are a lot of NFL starter type guys in this class. I think he could be that, but there are guys in the NFL that are good spot starters, or, you know, you sign him for a season because you don't have the guy that you want long-term. And that's kind of what I thought about Cam Williams, because to your point, it's just not very consistent. And there is a lot of bad on his tape still. I think good body type, decent at one-on-one blocking, decent against bull rush, which I thought was pretty good, right? But gets driven just too easily backwards, not fundamentally sound. I think fundamentals is a huge concern for him. Spent 3 years at Texas. You'd think he was coached up pretty well, but fundamentals being an issue, stamina being an issue are concerning to me, right? And I think, again, at the next level, that's a guy that maybe you're good taking in the second or third round of an NFL draft. This class, I would say definitely this is probably a second round pick because, I think he can be a spot starter for a lot of teams. So I expect him to get drafted to a team that wants to give him that opportunity to start. So that's where I have him. Do you see him in that similar range?
Yeah, that's about where you take a guy. I mean, offensive tackles with that frame and those tools don't fall below that. They just don't, regardless of how the tape looks and whatever other issues they have. That's where they go if they don't have first round quality tape, because guys built like that who move like that are so hard to find and they're so in demand. That's exactly where you got to put him.
Okay. I had Josh Connerly Jr. at number five for me, the tackle out of Oregon, 21 years old, 6'5", 311 pounds, played just under 2,000 snaps at left tackle for Oregon. Combine ran a 5.5 40, 34.5 inch vert, 8.7 broad, 78.3 offensive grade for PFF. So to me, similar kind of conversation as Cam Williams. I don't think there's like massive differences between them. Good power at the point of attack, really nice size. So similar qualities that I liked about Cam Williams, I like about Josh Connerly. I think Connerly play in, play out is a little bit more consistent, fundamentally sound, but I think he tends to play a little bit too high. He leads to, like, he grabs on a little bit too much. I think there's some plays that would have been called holds at the NFL level. And I think he's a little bit heavy with his upper body, where you see him get caught leaning just too consistently, and that makes him lose a lot of battles, right? So while he's doing the right things, maybe there is a limit to his physical ability, and that's why he's, you know, not necessarily being talked about as one of the top three guys in this class. I have Connerly at five. Where did you have him?
I had him at five also. I really hope we don't have the same exact rankings. I don't think we will, but I have him at five for much of the same reason. It's just the comfort with, you know, the hand fighting and technique. Obviously, these are things that can be developed, but I always say a part of this stuff is innate. When I watch some other players, it looks innate. When I watch Connerly Jr., I can't imagine it is innate because he hardly ever does it. He wins with positioning. He doesn't win with his hands. So that's cool. NFL defenders are going to get you out of position way more often than in college, and you're not going to necessarily be in that Oregon offense that you know, allows you to, even if you fail, the play goes on before 2 seconds have even elapsed. So I think he's going to have some struggles and adjustments to make there. But, you know, still, at least in the environment he was put in, he did take advantage of that offense and you know, basically took, made the best of his situations, as advantageous as they may have been. So I have him at five for those same reasons, but I wonder how high his ceiling is, because while he has a frame and technical development that can be had, I'm not sure he has just that sort of innate feel and ability to really just harness or maximize all that he does have physically.
All right. Well, I'm pretty sure our lists aren't going to be the same, because I think the conversation really starts at four. I think the other two guys, clearly five and six to me, conversation really starts at four. And my four is pretty different. I have Will Campbell at four. So LSU's Will Campbell is 21 years old, 6'6", 319 pounds, 32-inch arms, 9.5-inch hands. Spent 3 years at LSU. I love the snap count, 2,500 snaps as a left tackle. Exactly what I'm looking for. Positives, I think he drives really well on run blocking plays where he's one-on-one and square with the defender. I like his hand battling skill is like poetry. There were some plays where I was like, I'm watching the Karate Kid or something, because like he's one-on-one, the guy's trying, you know, defender's trying to get his hands off of him, and Will Campbell's just batting him down, right? And staying square, keeping his hands inside, doing a really nice job. It's like poetry. I loved it. And honestly, whenever he's lined up against a smaller guy, which Will Campbell is on the smaller side, but when he's lined up on a smaller guy, he destroys them, like really good against that type of player. So I do feel confident against him, him going against smaller, even quick guys, right? But the negatives to me, seeing him at left tackle stacked up so quickly, and I watched four games of this dude, and I because everybody that I've watched has him as either tackle one or tackle two, and I just didn't see it, right? I was trying to find it, and you showed some clips that were really promising, but to get to one of those clips for me, I had to watch five or six losses. Too often guys are getting into his chest, which is an issue with his arm length and his wingspan. Too often guys will get off of the initial block. So the initial block, Will Campbell does usually a pretty good job, but it's that second effort. All of a sudden, the second effort, he's losing. And again, I think it's because of his reach, right? You're good with the initial pop, but your arms are a little small, a little short, and people are able to get off of you. Swim moves, Euro steps basically destroy him as a tackle. Hated that. Doesn't seem confident in his strength at all in pass pro, which is super concerning to me, right? We saw him just consistently getting driven back and losing, right? And because of that, I saw him digging his heels in and not necessarily pushing, right? Not driving. And to me, that's, you're not confident in your strength, or you're not confident in this, in the size of your arms, right? So you have to try to figure out different ways to win. And at the NFL level, you cannot stay stiff like that. You will get blown by. What else do I got here? Sorry to keep going like this, but I also think because of his stance, which I touched on, he's very high at that initial stance. It erases explosiveness when he's, going to get out on a pull play, or he's trying to drive a guy that's not necessarily lined up head to head. You lose a little bit of what you can do when you don't bring that power when you're starting as high as he is. And anytime I watched him against NFL talent, he lost. That was the biggest concern to me, right? He played, we're talking about LSU. They had a lot of games against NFL talent. Whenever I saw that matchup, he lost. If you asked me, where is Will Campbell on my guard list? I'd probably have him at number two, or not guard, interior offensive line, because I actually think he's a center. I actually think he's a center, but I have him at number two for interior offensive lineman behind, what's his name that we both had at number one?
Donovan Jackson. Yeah.
And in front of Tyler Booker. So I had him there. I liked him at number two as a center in that interior offensive line list. But I don't think I would confidently draft this guy to be a tackle at the next level. I don't think it's possible. So for me, what is the value of Donovan Jackson? I said, I see him as like a 15 to 20 kind of guy. So if I'm saying Will Campbell's after that, I have Campbell as probably a late first round pick. And that's where I see him at. That's a pretty different take. So I went on a little bit with it, but I'm very curious where you have Will Campbell.
I had Will Campbell at four.
Dude, shut up. No, you didn't.
Yes, I have Will Campbell at four. And I had a feeling you would too, which is why I said what I said. I still don't think we have the same, but not because of Will Campbell, because I have Will Campbell at four. And the reason why is, although it's different, the concerns that I have with Will Campbell compared to some of the other players, the difference with Will Campbell's issues are they're genetic. I'm sorry. It's a game of inches. That was said for a reason. It wasn't said because you were measuring a first down on third and short. No, it's because all the inches add up. When you have a 6'5" wingspan on an island at offensive tackle, that is really easy for an athletic edge defender to get around. And there's nothing you could do about that unless you are a supremely agile player like a Rashawn Slater, for example. Will Campbell does not have that agility, and that's just genetics. He was just born this way. He can be worked on and so forth, and you can improve on certain things to an extent, but he's just not that next level athlete when it comes to agility and lateral quickness, to where the reason I chose the South Carolina game in particular is because it's a microcosm of Will Campbell as a player. He starts out really strong. He does the little things right. Defender jumps up to bat down a pass. He makes him pay for it because he loves football. He does all these little things right. And if you do something wrong, he's going to make you pay for it. But as the game went on, they figured out what works against Will Campbell. And what works is he's got these itty bitty arms, and he's not very wide, so there's not a lot of surface area that you need to get around. So if you go ahead and set him up to the outside and cut back to the inside, his stop-start cannot keep up with you. And that's Dylan Stewart as a true freshman, 18, 19-year-old player who we're going to be hearing about in a couple of years. And from that point on, just the quality of play and protection from Will Campbell decreased. He still battled, game on the line. We saw it. He's scratching and clawing. He's going to the ground to keep his quarterback clean late in the game. But you can't fix those inherent deficiencies. So when we get into the deficiencies of some other players here higher up on the list, even if I believe a lot of it is innate, you know, some of it's not. And that can be developed with NFL coaching, whereas genetics just are what they are with Will Campbell. And so these are things that just aren't ever going to change, and they're only going to be magnified in the NFL. So I, too, would have him on the interior. I like your thought and takeaway at center. I would have him below as an interior lineman, both Tyler Booker and Donovan Jackson, with Donovan Jackson as my number one. But to me, just because of a 6'5 wingspan, I mean, that's not even that great for the interior, but it's better than being on an island for an offensive tackle. Offensive tackle, you want like an 80-inch wingspan. You want a 6'8", 6'9", plus and above. 6'5", that makes a difference. 4 inches makes a difference, folks. It really does, especially over 80 snaps in a football game against the very best in the world. So just the inherent deficiencies in his game, I couldn't move him above four.
Yeah, ask your girl about 4 inches. But the other thing, I have so many questions that we need to have a conversation about this, right? Like, first, I guess, was I crazy to see as many poor plays as I did? Like, did you see that too, or am I out of my mind? Because it felt like it took five plays to see one good one, like one really, like one win compared to like two or three losses and then a couple neutral.
To me, I saw a lot of neutral that didn't look pretty, because it's not going to look pretty when you are just outgunned physically. You might be a little bit crazy, because I think he does so many little things well that even when he's losing the right way. And that's a very weird sentence, but he does have some good core strength, which I think helps. If he did not have really good core strength, then he really would have been getting pushed back. Like, to the extent that we saw Shamar Stewart against Mbujes now kind of really getting driven back, that happened on occasion with Campbell, but only on the occasions where he didn't win with his hands. Because when you have those short arms and you don't have that surface area and that true bulk to you, even if you win, you can get on ice skates pretty quickly. And that didn't happen so much with Campbell so much as to me, it was dying a slow death. It's just not going to look pretty when the edge defender has longer arms than you. He's quicker than you, probably has just a longer wingspan than you too. It's never going to look as pretty as it's advertised and billed. But I think he excels when it doesn't look pretty at times. Like, you know, in the run game, he'll battle. He's a bar fighter. I like that about him. I could see why coaches love him. I see why he was so highly regarded heading into this season. But I think when you really sort of separate yourself and you go through this draft process, there's a reason these thresholds are in place when it comes to hand size, arm length, wingspan, and there's a reason we measure these things, because they matter, because Joe Thomas is actually once in a generation. Will Campbell, not the next generational guy in that mold. He's just not.
Okay. So you kind of mentioned his personality, right? Which I think a lot of people are buying into. And I do too, right? And I think that at the end of the day is going to move him up draft boards, because if I think I could draft a guy that's going to be the captain of my football team in 2 years, that's going to make a difference in where I'm selecting him. And the reason I bring that up is because last year's Jackson Powers Johnson is a guy that I liked a lot more than I'm liking Will Campbell's film. And he went in the second round, and I understand that there was a lot of personality concerns about JPJ, but it makes me think, okay, so Graham Barton, would I have Will Campbell above last year's Graham Barton or Zach Frazier at center? I don't think so. I think I'd have both of those guys over him, but I could understand that's where the conversation is. But look at the history, right? That was a good draft class, but both of those guys went end of the first round, early second round. Why am I seeing Will Campbell in the top 10?
Because even these guys ranked above him in this tackle class, they don't compare to last year. They just don't. it's just supply and demand, and people are desperate. It's like quarterback. Unless the very best you have to offer is Kenny Pickett, you're going to get a handful of guys selected in the first round, even if they really shouldn't be, like perhaps this class, which, you know, we'll talk a bit more about. But they just it offensive tackle is that other position that just gets pushed up the boards even when it shouldn't. People are going to latch onto what they like because they need it. So they're going to convince themselves that they got to have it, even if objectively speaking, it's really just the value doesn't add up in this year.
Yeah, I mean, I would put, I'm not a bettor, so I'm actually not going to bet somebody on this. But like, if somebody placed a bet or wanted to bet with me and say like, I bet you Will Campbell will be an awesome tackle, he's going to go top 10, he's going to be a great tackle, I would feel very confident in a bet against that. I just don't see it. I just don't see it as a guy that can step in and play tackle at the next level. There's just too much concerns there. If you tell me he's going to be a great center, sure, we could have that conversation. But that's probably enough Will Campbell. Let's go on to our number three. Who did you have at number three?
So number three, I had Armand Membu. Really hope you didn't also have him at number three, but you probably did. Membu, so kind of similar script, but different details. There's some concerns with his game. For his frame and for his ability, he needs to be stronger than he is. He's athletic. He's not very technically sound, but okay, I can kind of work with it because I see the flashes. But you got to be stronger, man. And the whole combine hype and everything else, the game strength is not quite there. Will it get there? I would much prefer to roll the dice on an offensive tackle getting stronger than necessarily an offensive guard, where it is much more about wrestling in a phone booth and moving people. I know the athleticism is there. The frame is there. The upside is there. The strength is not. So that's one thing, along with the technical aspects that need to be worked on. To me, those flaws were just as apparent when watching the tape as Will Campbell's flaws were. The difference is that perhaps these aren't necessarily genetic, right? Technique isn't necessarily genetic, at least not fully, right? How much of a natural he is, and that feel for just sort of that kinetic battle that takes place every snap. Some have it better than others. I'm not quite sure where Armand Membu falls on that spectrum, but the physical ability, traits, and frame are all there. He just has to get stronger, and he has to really tighten up his hand fighting, his hand positioning, his ability to kind of reset, recognize what's happening to him as it's happening to him. Go into a hopstick technique if you do lose the hand battle and Shamar Stewart is driving into your chest. Fine. Hop, stop that momentum just for a brief second to get that shock absorption in you and see if you can reset. He doesn't have that part of his game yet. And I think he can get there. But so again, the flaws are pretty apparent, but they're not as inherent as they are with a Will Campbell. So to me, that's what sort of broke the tie there, is to where I could see Armand Membue being, I don't know, the 20th best offensive tackle in the NFL. I could see that. Whereas to me, I think Will Campbell could be the 36th best tackle, the 38th best offensive tackle in the league. He could be sort of, you know, a second tackle for somebody if they keep him out there and they need him to play there. Sure. Armand Membue, the ceiling is a little bit higher, but the variance is a little bit greater. But I'm going to go with the ceiling and the traits there because the ability is there to surpass what I think Will Campbell could be in the NFL if he sticks that tackle.
Very interesting take. So we did not have this the same. I had Armand Membue at number two. And for a lot of the reasons you stated, right, I think this is a young kid, 21 years old. He's got great size, 6'4", 332 pounds, 33.5-inch arms. Like, that's what you want for an offensive tackle. And when you watch film with a guy with that kind of size, he looks like an NFL offensive tackle. And I mean, that's important. You need to look the part, and he looks the part. He played over 2,000 snaps as well, which is what I want, right? I want a guy with experience. I just think the biggest thing with him was, I don't think maybe the coaching was that great at Missouri. And I see a lot of things I like, right? I think his athleticism is like very good for the next level. I think that his strength is probably fine, right? That's one thing that the combine is helpful for, right? It's okay, we saw it on film, but does it match up? Or, hey, we thought his strength was maybe a concern at the next level. Hey, this guy showed up and did bench. Did he get 10 reps on bench and like we're really concerned? No, he put up 31 reps on bench. Like, this is a guy with legit NFL strength. It's just, to me, it's like the fundamental skills weren't there. So if I had to bet on anyone probably in this draft class as like a, hey, I don't think he showed me enough yet for me to feel super comfortable plugging him in and just being a star at tackle, but I think he could become one, it's probably Armand Membue. I was thinking back to the Charles Cross, Evan Neal, Akeem Okwuanu draft. Those were the three guys in that draft. And he reminds me of a player that in that draft class, we had so many questions about the top tackles, right? But we liked all of them, right? Ike Okwuanu, really good run blocker, tough, brutal guy, but didn't really have the fundamentals in pass protection. Huge concern, right? It's a passing game. Evan Neal looked the part, but fundamentally just wasn't that developed. I think Armand Membue is more developed than Evan Neal was, right? Which, God willing, right? Charles Cross looked like he had the arm length and pass protection, but maybe not that next level strength. Membue probably, to me, has the best traits of all of those three combined, right? I think he's got the size and strength of Okwuanu, just doesn't bring that that kind of like brutal attitude yet, but I think he could develop that. I think he's got the length that Charles Cross had. I think I saw that at times. I think he has the fundamental traits of an Evan Neal. So to me, it's like you're getting the best of those three worlds. To me, that's a really good tackle at the next level. It could be a really next tackle if he goes to the right team that could develop it. And I understand why some analysts are starting to move him up and say, is this a guy that the Bears at pick 10 go ahead and take? Like, maybe that's a little bit early for me. I have him kind of as that somewhere in the teens, I'd say probably makes sense for him. But I still would take a bet on him and feel really good if my team did that. So for me, I see him a little bit different than you in that, like, I'm more willing to bet on the upside than maybe you are. But that means that we probably have, oh, well, I guess I could be wrong, but I have Kelvin Banks at my three. So let's talk about Kelvin Banks. Kelvin Banks, to me, again, 21 years old at Texas, played left tackle, 2,700 reps at tackle. That's what I really like to see. 6'5", 315, 33.5-inch arms. Did a bunch of stuff at the combine, and I think it was okay, right? 5'1", 6'40 is okay for a guy his size. 32-inch vert, 8'8 broad. It's all just kind of like mid. It's fine. But grading-wise, 86.2 offensive grade, 81 run blocking grade, 89.9 pass blocking grade. Those numbers are fantastic. I thought he was a very balanced player early in the game, when he has time, right, and he's fully at his strength. Really good balance, really good strength in the run game. I like that he brings that brutality, kind of like that Ike Okwuanu, like he wants to bury you. Great use of hands. We showed that, right? Really good hand fighter, can match defenders' hands, keep himself clean. good punch, really good lock on, right? Like, this is a strong guy. He's strong enough to be a tackle at the next level. But poor conditioning is a concern of mine. When he gets tired, the balance concerns are just really bad. And I never saw him dominate. I really just never saw him dominate like anyone, right? And that's where I think the biggest concern to me is I think Membu has a lot of traits that to me say, okay, this guy can dominate at the next level if he develops. I don't really know if that player is within Kelvin Banks's kind of range of outcomes. I think this is a really good starter that you would draft and feel confident. I have him in the same draft range as Membu in that teens, but I would still take the chance on a pure talent that also has a nice snap count under his belt, good experience, than a Kelvin Banks, who to me, the floor is probably a lot higher, but the ceiling is much, much lower.
So I had Banks as two. What's interesting to me about Banks is I agree with what you said there. When I just looked at Kelvin Banks, like just the first time I was like, all right, I'm going to study Kelvin Banks. And I just put on first game, and before I even hit play and I just watched them line up, I was like, damn, that looks like a really good guard. And so when I looked at his combine measurements, to me, I was like, okay, it makes sense. His arm length, 33.5, 26th percentile as an offensive tackle, right? Wingspan, 84 3/8. That's 82nd percentile. That means he's really freaking wide, okay, and kind of below average lengthwise. So I was like, okay, good. My eyes don't lie to me. I can still see. I'm not going blind yet. And kind of how he plays, to me, it's like, yeah, good balance. I like that at guard, right? I think a wide kind of powerful frame is good. Does get tired. Guards probably get tired more than tackles typically. I looked at him and I'm like, okay, I could see how and why you have him at an offensive tackle, because just bare bones, this is a really good football player and probably the best of your five offensive linemen, and he can hold up at tackle and be a very good tackle for you. But I watch him and I'm like, damn, man, he could be in contention for guard one. Like, what if he played at guard all these years instead? What would he look like? I can't get that out of my head. A 6'5", 318-pound guard with good balance and the footwork to play tackle in major college football, but is now lining up at guard? That's my kind of guy. And I know I'm pretty picky when it comes to offensive tackle. I like my tackles to like kind of look more like power forwards. I like the Olus, the Alts of the world. I like those guys at tackle, right? That just that more athletic build as opposed to kind of the wide, stout guys. And that's a part of the bias I probably have to get over too. But I think Kelvin Banks, if I look at him and study his tape, right, agree with everything you say. I think this is someone where if he hits, I think as an offensive tackle in the NFL, he could maybe be the, I don't know, 19th best offensive tackle in the league, right? If it hits, he could be the 19th best tackle. I think you put him at guard, he could profile as top five. That's just me. I've heard whispers about it here and there. Some people, you know, in the outskirts of the mediaverse in draft Twitter, if you will, and draft world, some people talk about, hey, what about Kelvin Banks at guard? To me, I think that is his best position, and I wish we could see him at it, but At tackle, yeah, agree with what you say. I like him too, I have him at two, and I like him there as well. I just think I look at this player and I just see a ceiling that could be higher at guard. If they stick him at tackle, maybe he's a top 20 guy, probably levels out at like top 25-ish, which is fine. That's really good, but I don't think you're looking at an all-pro, a Pro Bowler, or someone that could really anchor you at tackle and you never have to worry about it for a decade. I don't really see that.
Very interesting. And I think I agree with you. I think as a guard, he would be fantastic, right? And probably higher on my list than several of the guys we spoke about. The only thing is, I think he can play tackle. I think this is a guy that has the ability to play tackle. And like you're saying, probably be pretty good, right? Like, this is maybe like middle of the pack starting offensive tackle. In this draft, when there's four tackles, maybe that we would have go first round, maybe it's like, does he have to end up playing tackle just because teams are going to need that so, so much? Is that the best thing for him? Maybe not. But, you know, that's kind of why I tend to put him at tackle, just because I think the need is just going to be so great at the next level, you know, for these teams drafting that they're going to have to do it.
Yeah, which I hate. You know my team building thing. Take your best talent and put them where they're best and work around it. Don't just take the best, don't take your best player and then use them to fit a need. I don't like that. If I got a 10, if I got a 9 out of 10 guard, I'd rather that than a 6.5 out of 10 tackle. I'll work around tackle, but give me a beast guard and I can build around that. That's how I see Kelvin Banks. But yeah, he could play tackle and sure, fine if you need him to, but I'd rather kick him inside and let him be a brawler.
That's why I think whenever I see a mock with him to the Dolphins, it makes so much sense just because there's positional flexibility, right? They have needs everywhere. So you can play him at his best position. He also has that kind of build that works in that kind of a run scheme. So I like it, right? I actually really like that fit. I think it could be the fit that, or the place where he ends up going in this draft is at that pick to Miami. I think it's like 13 or something. But we're both on the number one and sounds like we have the same number one. And I'm just going to start by saying, if anybody told you that Josh Simmons was not the number one tackle in this draft class, they lied to you. They straight up lied to your face. Josh Simmons from Ohio State, 6'5", 317 pounds, 33-inch arms, 10-inch hands, spent 1,900 snaps split between right tackle and left. He has this knee injury. I understand if that's why people are coming forward and saying he's not, you know, our number one guy. We don't know how that knee's going to heal. And it was. It was a pretty major knee injury. The knee tore his patella tendon in his left knee. But every report I've seen so far is that he will be ready to play at the start of the 2025 season. It might not look great at first, right? But to me, this is the only player in the draft at tackle that I said has the ability to be top 10 in the NFL when healthy. Obviously has the ability to play tackle at a high level now and showed me it on film consistently. Is his length a little bit short? Yeah, it's a little bit short. Maybe that's another reason, right? People are like, you know, Membu is the only one that has the length and the size to really play a tackle at the next level of these top guys. But when I watch Simmons' film, it's not just his size. It's the way he gets into his stance. He gets deep into his stance and he attacks you. This dude moves surprisingly well for a guy at his size. Even the play you showed me where he gets kind of pulled down by the cloth, I think it was Iowa, he didn't fall down. He athletically like caught his feet, spun around, and was ready to play football. Like, this dude is an athlete. He's a stable blocker. He's powerful. His pop is powerful. You can leave. He's, again, maybe the only one that you can truly leave on an island all game and feel confident that he'll do his job for you. Obviously, the injury is a huge concern for me. But my note in negatives is there's nothing on film that stuck out to me to say, I don't think I could play this guy as a tackle for me and start for the next 10 years if he's healthy. So for me, clear as day, tackle number one. Clear as day, if the injury, you know, you do your little review and it turns out you're like, I'm not super concerned about this injury, he is a easy top 10 pick and potentially top 5 pick in this draft.
Yeah, I have no idea why he wasn't or hasn't been talked about as clearly the top guy. He, like you said, he checks every box other than I wish his arms were an inch longer. That's it. That's it. Everything else he does well. Run game.
If you're 4 inches, if you're 4 inches short, your wife might have a problem. But if you're only an inch short, she might let it slide, right?
Right. Sure. So he's right at the baseline, 33. That's fine. There's nothing for me to nitpick at. There's nothing for me to nitpick at. I was worried that I was going to come off like a freaking homer, like just showing like, well, here's the one bad play I found was him just getting cloth pulled on him. And like you said, he literally did spin. He was on his right leg and still he did not hit the ground. He did not hit the turf. And I was like, damn, that's pretty athletic. Almost made me wonder if he actually hurt his knee on that play and not the next play, because maybe that torque is what actually did it. And then, you know, he went to the ground the next play because, you know, then when he had tried to play through the injury, he couldn't. That almost made me wonder which play actually got hurt on, because that was insane to actually stay on his feet on that play. But yeah, he's not content with just being in front of a defender. He actually strikes, strain, finish every play. That's exactly, he goes through all three. He's not content with just good. He does every rep. He goes through every rep exactly how you're supposed to, exactly how you want a player to do it. Even when he has the clear advantage, to the inside of a defender. He's still going to torque his hips and really turn that defender and give the running back the best possible lane he could have to the inside. It's he just does it all, man. He really does. His tape is just there's nothing to nitpick at. You can't get mad at watching a player like this. The only thing is I wish he had arms an inch longer. That's literally the only thing. But his hand fighting is so good. He does have that innate ability to hand fight to where, and again, it's not terrible length. It's just right at the baseline, and you always want more when you're drafting in the top 10. But he can hand fight there. Like when his hands are swiped, he will flash, bring him back in, withdraw, and then strike again based on the position of the defender. If the defender's going to the outside, fine, I'll strike with my inside and I'll kind of drive you there. And then if you commit, then I'll bring my outside hand in. I'll work with you here. He's content with the battle. Someone like Connerly and these other guys, they don't have that skill set. I don't know if he trains MMA or what, or if this is just something that he just has naturally, but he's really damn good at it. So he's the clear number one guy to me. If he was in the previous class, I probably would still have Alt above him, maybe Foshanu because of the length. Might be biased there, I might not, but to me, he definitely wouldn't be below tackle three in last year's class. And to me, the offensive tackles, there were several of them that could have went top 10, top eight. That's how I see this guy in that same light. He's a top 10 talent for sure.
Very funny you just brought that up because I had just pulled up last year's draft. So Joe Alt went number five. I would have had Joe Alt above him as well. I think Alt is extremely special. After that, right, J.C. Latham went seven. Olu went 11. Fuongo went 14. Mims went 18. Like, I get what you're saying about Olu. I would have had Josh Simmons above. If Josh Simmons was fully healthy and played the year fully healthy, I don't think there would be any question I'd have him above Olu. But I don't think I had Olu as my number two last year. Maybe I did and it was close, but I think it was between him and J.C. Latham. I would definitely have him above those two guys. Like, I think he's that level of talent. And that was a really special talent in that class. So that shows you how high we have this guy in our mind that last year, I'm thinking he probably goes seven to the to Tennessee. So we're talking about a guy that's not just high because of this weak draft class. This is like a legit talent. And again, it's blowing my mind that everybody doesn't have this opinion of him. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's baffling to me.
Yeah. I don't know. Out of sight, out of mind, I guess. I don't know. But that's the only thing I could possibly think of is he is very, very good at football. And it hurts me to say that stuff, but yeah, he's damn good. He's damn good. I don't get it.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for sticking with us. Thank you for tuning in. Please give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X at @all22_PFF. And give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcast. And have a great rest of your day. I'm a ghost.